Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
This is the Hagman Report for today. It is Wednesday, March 4th, 2022. I wanted to say May. It just feels like March. Okay, trust me up here. My goodness, it does feel like March. Eric the Tech, how are you in this March weather in May? How are you?
Doing good.
Hey, don't forget Mom this weekend, right? All right. Yeah, okay. A lot of stuff to get into. I'm going to get right into it. Received a couple of calls over the last, well, the most recent one was today from a medical doctor, a separate medical doctor, about 8-9 days ago. And the two physicians both report this, mycoplasma pneumonia. A couple of patients, more than one, obviously, per physician, on average, probably three per physician, are seeing mycoplasma pneumonia among those who got the injecticide shot, all right, the so-called vaccine. Now, the reason this is significant, obviously, is mycoplasma pneumonia. It's the hallmark of AIDS. Okay, so if somebody presents with pneumonia and they are hospitalized, they take a culture and they determine what kind of pneumonia. And so this is like, you know, a bell ringing in the background for AIDS. So I'm just saying, okay, this is anecdotal evidence, but I'm just saying, man, there's a lot of things wrong with what's going on. And then this MIT study came out finding COVID vaccines significantly associated with a jump in emergency heart problems. This is an MIT study. So understand that this is not something I'm making up. This was reported yesterday. Israeli data on 16 to 39 year olds adds fuel to campaigns against the injecticide. Italian court strikes down mandate. U.S. pilots accuse FAA of ignoring severe adverse reactions among pilots. I'm telling you, they want to kill us. And if not kill us, enslave us, which is the where I'm headed today. I'll tell you what. This is perhaps this connects some dots. All right. You look at Bill Gates, the guy, in my view, if you took away his money, he'd be a mad scientist or a kook, I guess. I don't know. You know, the difference between being an eccentric and being absolutely Looney Tunes, I guess, is money. And I'm getting that feeling about Elon Musk, okay? I don't know the guy. I don't know him. I don't know what's in his heart. But I do know some things that really raise some alarm bells. Now, hold that thought. I want to get right into this because what is being prepared for us as we speak that connects the Disinformation Governance Board, this unconstitutional position department under the Department of Homeland Security, to everything. This is the common theme or the common motive means. I guess it's both a motive and a means, but this is the means to put us all under the panopticon of surveillance and also to control our activities. If it's not by way of the some sort of plandemic, it will be by way of the green agenda. But so I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 clips, video segments that you've got to really pay attention to because this connects everything together. If we can, well, I'm sorry, 5 and then a page. I want you to take a look at this page. If we can put this page up there, this particular page, and this is something, from mindmatters.ai. Mindmatters.ai. You see what that says for the radio listeners? Look, AI is fastest path to communism, says Elon Musk's partner. Elon Musk's baby daddy, I guess. This was published in June of last year. So almost a year passed, June 4th of last year. So 11 months to the day this was published. And it says that Grimes, which is the Musk baby mama. I'm sorry. Did I say baby dad? Who knows? The mother of Musk's children. Grimes is her name. And there she is in all of her splendor. A Canadian singer-songwriter and three-year partner to Musk said that AI is actually the fastest path to communism and encouraged communists to embrace the technology if they want to see their political dreams come true. Now, you know, look, I don't know. I was talking to Josh, Eric the Tech, and their kids are named like Y and the children, his two children, their two children have weird names, I think, right? I mean, they came out and changed. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It's just really strange. What? Pay attention to this, because the communism framework is the framework of enslavement for, it's the undergirding for the AI process that will put us all in digital gulags. Understand what they are doing here. They're using the China model to enslave us. Now, you might think, well, we've always known that. No, you don't know how far along they are. I mean, this is concerning to see how far along they are. Now, do we have any method to fight back? Yes. Yes, we do. I ask everyone listening to this. This doesn't take much. If you're listening to this, the next time you go to the store, use cash. The next time you, use cash as much as possible. Get off the debit card junk, use cash. Go to the bank, cash your check, and use cash. Fight that's the least you can do, all right? All right, so you saw that. Link will be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. I failed to put a couple of links in there yesterday, and I apologize. But this will be in there, and you've got to really read this and understand. They're telling you what they're going to do. And then they're telling you how they're going to do it. If that doesn't, again, this is all going to connect. Because you think that, and you've heard that, well, Musk taking over Twitter, we have to fight the misinformation, malinformation, and disinformation. You think that this disinformation governance board was in fact a result or a consequence of Musk taking over Twitter. No. The timing perhaps this was executed in part because of that, kind of like a belt and suspenders insurance policy approach to any changes. Maybe he might break the chain, you know, and go off the reservation. Yeah, I know. That's so anyway, but this, and we refer to this Jankiewicz as Scary Poppins, and that's a takeoff of the New York Post headline, but understand how bad this is, and we have to fight against this. Let's go to video number one. This is in order, and you've got to really pay attention, because what they're going to do to us, what they're doing to us now, is absolutely intolerable. This is a minute 53, and I'll finish this after the video. Go ahead and let's play this.
We are becoming cyborgs. Like, our brains are fundamentally changed. Everyone who grew up with electronics, we are fundamentally different from Homo sapiens. I call us Homo techno. I think we have evolved into Homo techno, which is like essentially a new species. Previous technologies, I mean, may have even been more profound and moved us to a certain degree, but I think the computers are what make us Homo techno. I think this is what, it's a brain augmentation. So it like allows for actual evolution. Like the computers accelerate the degree to which all the other technologies can also be accelerated.
Would you classify yourself as a Homo sapien or a Homo techno?
Definitely Homo techno.
So you, I think we're all, early, I, you're one of the earliest of the species.
I think most of us are. And I think right now, the way we are evolving, we can choose how we do that. And I think we're being very reckless about how we're doing that. Like, we're just having social media. But I think this idea that, like, this is a time to choose intelligent design should be taken very seriously. It, like, now is the moment to reprogram the human computer. You know, it's like, if you go blind, your visual cortex will get taken over with other functions. We can choose our own evolution. We can change the way our brains work. And so we actually have a huge responsibility to do that. And I think, I'm not sure who should be responsible for that, but there's definitely not adequate education. We're being inundated with all this technology that is fundamentally changing the physical structure of our brains, and we are not adequately responding to that to choose how we want to evolve. And we could evolve, we could be really whatever we want. And I think this is a really important time. And I think if we choose correctly and we choose wisely, consciousness could exist for a very long time, and integration with AI could be extremely positive. And I don't think enough people are focusing on this specific situation.
All right. That was Elon Musk's mother of his children. I don't know what the relationship there is, but did you hear what she said? And I'm sure you did. All right. Now, think about Planned Parenthood. Think about the Roe v. Wade decision. Think about the Disinformation Governance Board altogether, because nothing happens by accident. Okay, so think about this. The devaluation of human life by these globalists, by the left, by these perverse purveyors of perversity, this is all part of it. Now, of course, those who are fortunate enough not to be killed, the children not to be killed, are going to grow up. They want to, of course, these global masters, as they like to look at themselves as, they want to put chips in us and essentially make us digital slaves to their system. Now, that's not quite how she painted it. Of course, this is this panacea for everything. As a matter of fact, even to the point of becoming small g gods, right? And extending our consciousness to live on beyond us. Now, I will ask a question of you, and think about this. I've often thought that consciousness, our consciousness, resides outside of our body. Have you thought about that? Is that possible? And think about this, too, in the form of, hey, I was just thinking about that, you know, whatever that might be, and maybe a relative two states over might call you and say something and say, well, you know what? I was just thinking about the same thing you were thinking about. How does that happen? I think that God made us very, very perfect, again, in his image. And I think that that's part of this process, and perhaps that tapping into our consciousness, both individual and spiritual, if you're on the same spiritual plane as others. All right. So that's Grimes. That was Grimes. Now, Joe, that, by the way, the lower third overlay video part of that was taken from, that was played on the War Room, and that's why you had the lower third there of the War Room. Same venue, the War Room. Joe Allen, digital IDs and cashless economics. Here, watch this. This is just a few minutes, but it's important to really understand what he's saying, because this jumps ahead a little bit. Go ahead. I'm sorry, I didn't tell you. Eric's yelling at me over here. Video two, Joe Allen, digital IDs, cashless economies. And started, if you noted, just started about 33 seconds in. Say what? Okay. Let's play video roulette and spin the wheel. Let's see what we get. Go ahead.
Digital gulag puts Americans at extreme risk of losing basic.
Okay, so this would be on the show prep video number two, Joe Allen, digital IDs. You see where I'm getting that from? All right. Oh. All right. Well, let's, you know what we're going to do? We're going to move on here. There was a webinar, because I can fill in the blanks here. There was a webinar that was held. Frank Gaffney had was the presenter, and he brought on a number of just superb guests, including Regina Littlejohn and others. Zach Voorhees, the Google insider, and some others. I'll identify by each one. I want you to take a look at, so we're going to go to clip number one under the source of video, under the digital gulag. Okay, you got that one? Okay, this is clip one. Now, this digital webinar was an hour and a half, and it was an incredible webinar, and it's up at, I'll put the link in the program description box. You'll need to know it now. It'll be, this is about 8 minutes, 8.5 minutes in. This is going to run for 7 minutes, roughly. But every single part of this is important because it lays out, Regina Littlejohn lays out exactly what the intent is here. She's the co-chair of Stop Vax Passports Task Force. And what she says should alarm you. Go ahead.
The floor is yours.
Thank you so very much, Frank. So my work in China has sensitized me to the elements of totalitarianism, and I am very alarmed to see them encroaching in the United States through the vaccine passports, cashless society, and this new disinformation governance board. So now that the vaccine mandates and mask mandates have been relaxed, we cannot be lulled into complacency. I believe that the infrastructure for a digital gulag is being quietly, almost secretly laid out as we speak. A digital gulag is a means of denying a person freedom, not by placing them in a physical prison, but by placing them in a digital prison. And I will talk more about that. But unless we resist strongly now, this will be quietly accomplished with little or no debate by means of what I will call the evil trio, vaccine passports, a cashless society, and the new disinformation governance board. So when I heard about this disinformation governance board, I thought it was some kind of a sick joke, but it's all too real. So just last week, we learned that instead of protecting our border, the Department of Homeland Security has turned its sight on policing free speech of American citizens. This happened within days of Elon Musk's takeover of Twitter, which raises the question, since the power elites can no longer use Twitter to police free speech, are they now instituting this new Orwellian Ministry of Truth? Censorship of speech and the control of the flow of information are straight out of the Chinese Communist Party playbook. The Disinformation Governance Board is the CCP's central propaganda department with American characteristics. What is the purpose of the Disinformation Governance Board? There's a hint in their appointment of Nina Jankowicz as executive director, a political partisan and a Hunter Biden laptop denier. A poll shows that many Democrats would not have voted for Biden if they had known the contents of the Hunter Biden laptop. So the fact that that it was delayed, that the contents were delayed, may have affected, in fact, likely affected the outcome of the election. This is one powerful way that elections can be manipulated through the control of access to information. Now, the purpose of the Disinformation Government Board lies in the most recent bulletin from the Department of Homeland Security. I want to read from that bulletin. This is their National Terrorism Advisory System bulletin dated February 7th, 2022, and it's called Summary of the Terrorism Threat to the United States, and it is very chilling. It names as domestic threat actors, those who proliferate, quote, false or misleading narratives regarding unsubstantiated widespread election fraud and COVID-19, end quote. So people who may disagree with Dr. Fauci or the CDC or the WHO about COVID-19 or think that there might have been some fraud in the election of 2020 can be labeled as domestic terrorists. Now, how is the Department of Homeland Security going to identify these domestic terrorists? They say that they have expanded their evaluation of online activity. In other words, they are monitoring and evaluating everything we do online, social media posts, internet hit search history, internet spending history, and I would not be surprised if they are monitoring our email. So how does the Disinformation Governance Board work together with the vaccine passports and a cashless society to trap us in a digital gulag? First thing I want to say about these vaccine passports, they are being rolled out nationally, including in some Republican states with very little fanfare, really under the radar screen. And they're not being called vaccine passports because of our work and the work of others. We have made that nomenclature to be radioactive. So they're calling them things like smart health cards or digital IDs. Anything that has a QR code that you are required to join that will show your vaccination status is a vaccine passport. And what happens with these vaccine passports is that according to tech experts, they utilize the same digital platform as the China social credit system. So what does that mean? That means that even though they might start out just showing whether or not you're vaccinated, within a matter of minutes, all this functionality can be attached. So they can be used to attach facial recognition, gait recognition, real-time geolocation so that they know always where you are, your social media posts, your internet search history, your internet spending history, and very importantly, your credit card and your bank accounts. So that if you run afoul of the powers that be in China, or if we institute it here in the United States, one of the most powerful tools they have is if they have a cashless society, they can cut you off from your ability to transact, to buy or sell, which means that they can do things like, you know, they could cut you off completely, in which case you have no ability to buy food, you won't be able to pay your mortgage or your rent. I mean, that's a digital gulag right there. You are paralyzed. Or they could do something a little bit less like controlling your spending. Like, you know what? Big Brother here thinks that you're buying too much wine or you're playing too much many video games, and so we're just not going to allow that transaction to go through. But they can do this stuff, okay, if this is instituted. So.
And they are, by the way.
The World Health Organization moving towards an interoperable international vaccine passport system, building a quote-unquote trust framework supposedly to aid international travel. So what this does is that it will enable any country in the world, if we institute this system, to track you, including the Chinese Communist Party. And you think this is not real? Well, the WHO has already selected Deutsche Telekom to create a global vaccine passport. And there's big money involved. According to Research and Markets report, a worldwide social credit industry infrastructure to support the social credit systems represents a $16.1 billion opportunity by 2026. Beyond this, the World Health Organization is pushing an international treaty on pandemic prevention and preparedness, which would enable them to dictate what every country does in response to a pandemic with enforcement power. So, do you want to live in a world where all of your thoughts and movements are surveilled by the vaccine passport and digital ID, where they're evaluated by a disinformation governance board run by the Biden administration, and where your access to your credit cards and your bank accounts can be shut off if you are found to disagree with election integrity or COVID? In other words, you are labeled as a domestic terrorist. If not, the time to act is now, because these things are coming down very quickly. I would urge you to go onto the Stop Vax Passports website, sign the petition, engage in the Align Act campaign, and to stay engaged in this movement. Thank you.
All right. So, yeah, go to Stop Vax Passports. But I want to, if I can, nudge a little bit to that. Look, it's not just the Biden regime that's doing this. It's the cabal of globalist people in the background, the people you don't see necessarily. That's who's really pushing this. The Biden regime, you know, bumbling Joey Sixplugs, basically only is the face of the puppet of the puppet masters. And the Disinformation Governance Board, hey, how quickly we forget, you know, hey, the Roe v. Wade is leaked. And of course, that overshadows 2,000 Mules, that video by Dinesh D'Souza, which premiered in 270 theaters yesterday about the 2020 election. But that, hey, don't worry about that, because Disinformation Governance Board, they're going to tap the brakes on that, because that's really disinformation. As a matter of fact, that's malinformation. That's information that goes against all of the narratives. Now, this is from the same webinar, this next video clip. This is Kevin Freeman. Or I'm sorry, this is Zach Voorhees. This is clip number two. This will be shorter than that, the first one. But this is from the same webinar, and I urge everyone to watch it. The link will be in the program description box, I promise, tonight. You can go there and you can see what you can, you watch the entire thing. But I'm just picking out little nuggets to connect the dots here. Again, this is Zach Voorhees, Google leaker, author of Google Leaks. Go ahead.
It's good to be here. Hello, everyone. Today, I want to talk about Google's censorship engine called Machine Learning Fairness. This was the gist of the 950 pages that I disclosed to the public through Project Veritas and to the DOJ. This censorship engine is basically a blending of artificial intelligence plus critical race theory. And the way that it works is all AIs that are trained with machine learning are reflective of the data that is used to train them. And so what Google has realized is that if they can take the training data and they can bias it, then the AI that they generate is also biased. They, of course, say that this is unbiasing the internet. But what's really interesting is that when you read through their papers of what defines algorithmic unfairness, there's a question in the FAQ that says, is objective reality, can it be algorithmically unfair? And Google's answer to this is yes. And the instance that they give is the example of someone doing an image search for CEOs. And if Google returns mostly men, and even if that reflects the current breakdown of CEOs, Google would still consider that algorithmically unfair and justify correction via product intervention in order to create a more fair and equitable space. Using this machine learning fairness, Google has essentially changed the algorithms that run Google Search, Google News, and YouTube. And the way that this system builds these AIs is, as I mentioned, it's the data that is it's filtered. And then from that, you get what's called a classifier. That classifier is usually trained in only one metric. Say it be hate speech, say it be transphobia, say it be whether the person's a right-wing news commentator. And from this system, they can then use these individual classifiers on a document or a transcript from a YouTube video. And from that, they can create a table of different attributes that apply to that video. In fact, this was something that I actually exposed, was such a table.
Listen to this.
And from as an inside employee, I could see that when people were uploading these videos, that a matrix of different AIs were running on them, some of them instantly, some of them after 48 hours. And depending on the decision matrix of this tree, of this table, they would either be allowed to monetize, they would be demonetized, the video would be pulled, or the account would be struck, or the account would be canceled. And really what this is that this is the ground sort of foundation that they're building for this social credit system. And what's interesting is that this contagion is spreading from not just Google, but to other social media platforms, such that if you're banned on one social media platform, that's justification that you can be banned on other social media platforms. And so right now we're in this phase where we have a decentralized social credit system. There are different silos across the internet of which these social credit systems exist. Wikipedia is another one. But the theme that we're turning to now is the centralization of these decentralized social credit systems. And Google is actually a really great example of this, because what they do is that they are creating a PageRank score for each person, website, and topic. And they are using the Wikipedia, what the mainstream media has to say through their advanced search querying. It's literally a search query that they're instructed to use in order to figure out the authoritativeness, expertise, and trustworthiness of a person. It's called EAT. And this EAT score is used to, it's essentially your hidden social credit system. And I've seen Congress people demand Google give them what their PageRank score is. Ted Cruz was one of them. And Google has thus far flat out refused, as far as I know, to hand out a PageRank score on anyone on the numerous times it's been asked.
And then isn't that special? EAT, acronym EAT, right? EAT in the PageRank score. Look, you see what's happening. Of course, we got canceled, right? We not just canceled, but on YouTube and other places, they took away all of our content. They made us, I mean, we're gone. It's gone. Now, I don't care, but see, it's going to happen to you. And the people who bitch and moan, you know, about this platform in the comments section, You better take a look at what is happening right in front of you. Okay? Because this is happening right now. You are a prisoner right now, a prisoner in terms of what you're allowed to look at, what you're not allowed to look at. Oh, yeah, sure, I can still get you now. But I'm going to tell you what. Our days are numbered. If you are a Christian conservative, your days are numbered. If you want to tell the truth about... from 9/11 to, or go back in history, whatever you, your days are numbered. They're coming after you. And it's going to be worse than that. And I'll show you how it's going to get worse than that in this next minute and a half, 2 minute clip before we break here. This is how it's going to get worse. This is clip number 3. This is Kevin Freeman, also of the same webinar, but listen to what he's got to say. This is good. This is happening, but we can fight back at least a little bit. But listen to this and watch this. Go ahead.
Let me share today. The topic I have is the dangers of a cashless society, which lends itself to the whole idea of digital currency. I hold up a $20 U.S. bill, and it's got a tracking number on it, MH serial number 7871526 0B, on this particular bill. And yet that is virtually meaningless. These are all interchangeable. Every time you look at a $20 bill, it's worth $20, and people are able to exchange them and interchange them. And you don't even notice the serial numbers, except in rare instances when there's a bank robbery or something, they may look at the serial number, they may notice it. But and sometimes people will draw on a bill and you'll know where it's gone, and you're supposed to go to a website and track where that bill has gone. Well, just imagine that if every time you used currency anywhere under any circumstances, it was 100% tracked, what that would do to your privacy. The danger of a cashless society is that you can be tracked. Now, we already have that. If you use your debit card, they know, and the bank knows exactly where you've used it. Credit cards, the same thing, and they can track you with that. But if you remove the last vestiges of privacy from currency and from the ability to do economic transactions, the government then knows absolutely everything. The difference is now your credit card company knows where you've used it, but they don't necessarily know where you've used your debit card or a different credit card. It's not all centrally located. Well, there's something called central bank digital currencies that is like, they'll tell you it's as convenient as Bitcoin, and it's designed so that you could just transact. You don't need paper anymore. You won't have to write checks. You'll just be able to transact. When you do that, though, if it is issued by the central bank, whether it's Chinese central bank or the United States central bank, which is the Federal Reserve, or a European central bank, they will be able to track absolutely everything that's used with that currency. And the threat there is overwhelming government control.
All right. We're already there, pretty much, right? So, again, this is where we are headed, into this complete digital gulag. And the only way for us to win is not to play, not to involve ourselves in social media at all, period. Don't put up your pictures. No. And use cash. You might say, well, it's easier. Well, I don't care what your excuse. Look, I don't care what the excuse might be. We have to fight back, and we have to do it now. In fact, I'm thinking it's probably already too late. He did say, Kevin Freeman did say, or Zach Voorhees did say something about unbiasing the internet. I think it was him using the Disinformation Governance Board. Look, it's already in play. And can we fight it? Yes. But can we vote our way out of it? No. Litigate our way out of it? No. This is going to be a bare knuckles street fight, and one in which we should engage. We must engage. So when you see the planned reaction, and I'm tying this up now, of the leak, unprecedented leak out of the Supreme Court, and I may have been wrong in my speculation about who did it, but I believe it's a clerk for Sotomayor. But that said, when you see the timing of that, when the opinion would be made public on or about June 26th, 6 weeks, or I don't know how many weeks away. It's not that far. When you see, and you see how behavior is being regulated or controlled, I shouldn't say regulated. Obama coming out, Michelle, Big Mike and Barack coming out and saying, hey, we have to protest, we have to fight. Did you see that? Well, it's out there. Okay, all of this combined, your behavior is being, you're being groomed. We're all being groomed. And this is all part of it. And to oversee this, Aunt Nina, Scary Poppins, that Muppet, in the unconstitutional Disinformation Governance Board, we'll make sure that you don't step out of line. And if you do, no soup for you. That's a Seinfeld reference, of course. All right. But here's what we need to do. We need to take control of our finances, right? We do. And one of the ways we can do this, because when you look at your debt load, if you have a lot of credit cards, look, I'm telling you, you can feel like it's getting just totally out of hand. You're paying so much in interest. Think of how much you're paying in interest if you've got several credit cards. I mean, it's just incredible. So there, thanks to the fine folks at lightstream.com/Hagman. Thanks to them. They've got something for the listeners and viewers of the Hagman Report. Look, if you're tired of paying high interest rates on your credit card debt, check out lightstream.com/Hagman. Loans, you can get loans to consolidate your debt load. Loans range from $5,000 to $100,000. You can roll your credit cards into one low payment at a fixed rate, as low as 5.73% APR with auto pay and excellent credit. It's way lower than most credit cards. Look, this is what you need to do to take advantage of this offer that the fine folks at Lightstream have made for us. Apply now to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. Just go to lightstream.com/Hagman. That's LIGHTSTREAM, lightstream.com/Hagman, two N's on Hagman. Subject to credit approval, rates range from 5.73% APR to 19.99% APR and included a 0.50% autopay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Hagman for more information. And as I say, you will be glad you did. You will thank me later. And this is a way, I'll tell you what, family members have used this. This service, I'm telling you what, you can consolidate your debt load and pay off your credit cards in a super fast way. All right. Again, the links to everything that we're talking about today in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. Oh, coffee. Need to take a drink here. But, and including ProvisInstitute.com, Richard Proctor is on deck right now. I want to get his take on both the economy as well as how we fight this unconstitutional disinformation governance board, which is part of the DHS, and also the constitutionality of the Supreme Court, Roe v. Wade, all things current. With me now is Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com. Make sure you go there. And while you can, get a physical copy of his books. Look, I'm telling you, they're important to have in your library. Pass them down to your children so they know the real truth about what's been going on. And because I have a feeling, just like the Twilight Zone episode, The Obsolete Man, you won't be able to buy books, physical books. They'll become, well, a relic. With me, Richard Proctor. Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com. How you doing, sir? How you feeling?
Good. Glad to be here again. Still with problems. You can see I'm leaning to one side, but everything is coming around. Someday soon, I might be able to hold my head up straight.
Well, at least you're sucking air, I guess. Okay.
Don't quite know why I have so much shadow on me today, but we'll just press on.
Yeah. Well, it's all right. I mean, you're either red or I'm yellow. You're red. Yeah, that's all right.
I got a lot of this stuff too. Yeah. Anyway,
yeah,
I'm saving up so I have a supply.
All right. Okay.
I want to mention something that you just talked about.
Yeah.
Just a few seconds ago. You were talking about people wanting to get online and get these things stopped for these currencies, the control of our society, the control of us and all of that kind of stuff. And you said we all need to stop this. I'm going to suggest something. You can't stop anything you don't know about. Think about that for a minute. You can't stop anything. You can't think about anything you don't know about. You can't be aware of anything you don't know about. If you don't know it, you have no ammunition to stop or even fight what it is you need to fight. Think about that, folks. Just think about that for a minute. If you don't have the information in your head, you can't think about any of the things Doug's talking about. Now, I know you get a cursory view of what he said. All the things that I watched just was on those videos. Outstanding, guys. I mean, that's outstanding information. And so you're sitting here saying, now, what can I do? Who's doing that to me? How can I stop it? And that's where you need to know the background. And that's what the Liberty Series is about. And we have copies for people if they want to have that information. If you don't want to have that information, don't worry. You'll miss it.
You'll find out the hard way, actually.
Yeah, you will. You just will not. If you do not know what's happening, you cannot fight against it, period. Even if you have the subject, if you don't know what's happening, you can't fight against it. That's what these books are written for. They're written to give you a pattern. Don't worry about the fact that all the current stuff isn't there. I mean, the stuff about what happened with Roe versus Wade currently is not in there. But you know the pattern when you look at the book, and you know what's going on because it's built for patterns. It's not built to answer every question in the current events. It's built to show you patterns so you can see what's coming. For example, when the towers went down in whatever year that was, 2002, whatever year.
2001. I got to remind you now, 9/11/01. Okay.
When the towers went down, within 2 hours, I knew exactly who was doing it, why it was being done, because I knew the pattern. Okay? And I don't write about 2001 in my books, but you don't need me to.
The pattern is there.
You need to know the pattern. You need to know what to watch for. You need to know who's doing what. Well, for example, the digital currency we're talking about today. I know who's doing that. That's not being done by your local bank or your local government. That's being done by the international banking establishment who wants to control your life. And who does that mean? That means Gates. That means Soros. That means Rothschild. That means Lazard family. That means Harriman family. That means all. They're all listed in the books. Every one of these people are listed. You want to get a look at who has been a part of it and who is going to be a part of it more and more often? I've got a list of all the members of the Skull and Bone Society since up to 1985, because that was as far as they got the information. But that's far enough. Those people that were going, they were seniors in high school in 1985. They're in the mainstream today. You need to know who they are. Well, the list is there. The list is there.
Which brings me, you know what, which brings me to a point. I want to just touch with you on this. Not that you were alive then or on, you know, a witness to the voyage of the Titanic. I find it very interesting because your book, The Liberty Series, references this time period and kind of on the periphery of this event. I find it very interesting, by the way. I don't believe that was the Titanic that went out to sail. I believe it was switched with the Olympia. And I believe that the passengers there signed their death warrant when they walked on board, okay? Because that event shaped economic history. Did it not? You know,
yes, okay. It did.
All right. So
all these kinds of things do. Yes, big way.
Right. And I don't think it was a happy little accident or, you know, a bad accident. I mean, I think this was done intentionally, because when I do read your Liberty Series and reference it and look through that time period, I'm seeing this pattern now. As you've laid out patterns, you know, emerge. That's how you were able to, you know, pin down the actors in 9/11. Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
Anyway, you know, that's very important. You're talking about the Titanic. I mean, I don't think I actually wrote about the Titanic in the book, but that doesn't mean that I don't believe that it could have been completely planned to kill one or two people that were on that boat, whatever the name of the boat was. You see, they'll do that, folks. They just need to get one person. They don't care about the other 1,200. They don't care. They want one person out of the way. It works. They don't care. They'll take planes down to get one person that's on it. All kinds of things, folks. They do not care. Who is they? The names are all in the Liberty Series. Well, not all of them. The names are in the Liberty Series. I can't print the names of all the people in the Council of Foreign Relations here in the United States. There's over 11,000, 12,000, 13,000. But I can tell you who they are, most likely. They're the owners of the big businesses. They're the owners of the stuff that you want to have. Meat plants, they're closing meat plants. Why? Does the owner of a meat plant close down his profitability? Because he's getting the money from somewhere else. He belongs to something else. And he wants to do that activity. So he's going to shut it down. So that means we're not going to have the meat we used to have. Now go to the store today and try to buy something. I was looking for some Lamisil, okay? We went to a place, it was empty. They didn't have it anymore. We went to another place, we bought the last box. What's going to happen now? Are they going to have more or not? Why is it gone? Because somebody doesn't want that out, so they're going to cut it off. But maybe it's not the Lamisil. Maybe it's some other medicine that company creates, and they're going to close the whole company down to stop that, and everything else is going to be stopped. Distilled water. What's this thing about distilled water? Why is that shortage? Where's the shortage of distilled water? What's the big deal? It's control of you. It's making you buy what they want. It's not allowing you to do the things that you would like to do. That's the goal here. That's what's happening. My wife went to get orange juice the other day. None was on the shelf. None. Why? Why? There should never be a shortage of anything in the United States. There never was before 2020. There never was a shortage. But today, it's not unusual. So we just said, oh, well, maybe I can buy it somewhere else. That's not the answer. The answer is to understand what's happening so that you can take bigger action than that. I mean, I couldn't be on this show if I hadn't written the Liberty Series. I couldn't be here. I wouldn't have any answers for anything that Doug asked. I couldn't be here. I am here because I wrote that book. I want everybody to have the same education an opportunity that I have. That's why the book, that's why there's still only $25 a copy. I mean, folks, we're not giving them away. I'm not going to say that, but we aren't getting as much money out of them as they are actually worth. Okay. We're not getting that. I want the people to have the books. Then I make some money on the side, and that's good because then I can pay for things.
It's called commerce. Yeah. So,
right.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So help me out with this part of things though. Okay. So here we are, and the framework of this digital currency, in addition to that, what we need to do. All right. Here's the thing. I don't believe, number one, I don't believe we can vote our way out of where we're at. I don't believe we can litigate, sue our way out of where we're at.
No, we cannot.
I don't believe we can send angry letters and get a response. You know, no one gives no one cares.
Yeah.
Okay. I believe either right now we take immediate action that's called civil disobedience. I hate to bring this up, but to any critical people who criticize this platform, me or whatever, what the hell are you doing? What are you doing? Not you, Richard Proctor, but what are you doing? You know, what are you doing? You get a microphone, you get up here, you get the platform, you get your bank accounts, certain gateways, electronic gateways taken away from you. Okay, then talk to me. But until that, kiss my ass.
You know, Doug, I've been trying to encourage people for several years. It's now coming on six to form a real public citizens bank. And nobody pays any attention. But a public citizens bank would save you from all of that garbage. You would still not lose your credit cards. You would still not lose your checking accounts because it would be a part of a group, kind of like a co-op banking system. And you'd be able to do everything you can do now safely and keep all the profits going to your state government so you wouldn't have to pay taxes. I mean, there's a benefit here.
How long do you think that would last? How long do you think they would let you do that? Do you think they're going to let you do that?
Yeah, just a minute. They can't stop you unless your state does.
Well, we don't. I mean, okay. So
they can't stop. They could burn the building down, but they can't stop you.
They could shoot you. They can.
Yeah, they can do that. They can always do that.
They can disappear you.
That's where we are, folks. That's not fake. They've been shooting people for decades that weren't on the right time, right on the right side. Oh, yeah. Clinton had a lot of people commit suicide. Yes, sir. Shotguns to the back of the head. All kinds of suicides were all done during that era. Yeah, they can do that. They killed Andrew, was it Andrew Breitbart?
Breitbart? Yeah, absolutely.
He died in the street walking at night, and he died. Well, I'll be darned, just died. Bingo. But he was also doing a good job. His company still does, but he was the main threat. They got rid of him. This is not unusual to be shot.
You know what I want to know? I want to know this. I'm going to get personal with you, okay? How many people do you think in your age group talk, think, and have the knowledge you do? I don't think too many. In your age group, I could say my age group too. You know, I don't think too many. Do you think? Did we lose you? We lost him. We're going to get him back. Because I want to know the answer to that question. How many people? Is he back? All right.
Yeah, I'm back.
Okay. All right. Don't hit any buttons.
I didn't. I'm just sitting here.
All right.
I can't see the buttons, because they're down here, and I can't look down there. I can look straight ahead.
I laugh only because I feel your pain.
Oh, don't worry about it. I don't care. People laugh. It's a good, fun thing. But I know it's bad, but what can I do about it? Crone and condemn everybody? No. Just press on.
Let's be symmetrical. Wait a second. How do I do
this? That's right. That's it. You got it. Okay. Now we look the same.
Now you can just tip your monitors that way.
The guy on the right side, on my left side. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. The guy over here. The guy
over there.
Yeah. The other guy in this picture. He looks good. I just look.
No, but my question to you though, you know, we can't, and you made a good point. We can't fight something we don't know that's happening. And
yes.
Isn't it interesting? You might've missed like the very first, the Google leaker. Okay. The guy that came out of Google saying, look, we control the results of your searches. Look, okay. So they say, I know that. Okay. I know who doesn't know that, but yet, you know, how many people out there, show of hands in the studio audience, vast studio audience, how many people still use Google as a search engine? What? The guy in the pink sweater over there, put your hand down. All right. And get it. You don't use it.
I use DuckDuckGo, and I've been told that may even be compromised. Yep. I'll change again if it is.
It is. It's compromised, and there are very few. Now, there's a couple that I'm looking into. I'm not ready to say them yet, but and in the comment section, use it constructively. Put the names of the search engines you think might be good, but yeah, not compromised.
I think right now it's only Brave. I would say it.
Brave. I heard about Brave the other day.
That's what I use Brave. There's also another one. I'm not going to name the name because I don't know if it's good, but it's begins with an S.
Actually, the same guy that created Firefox is the designer for Brave.
Okay, good to know.
He wanted that open, free platform that wasn't tracked. That was his original idea.
And I've so you know what? But isn't it interesting too? Richard Proctor, Provis Institute. Isn't it interesting how people have automatically said, well, just Google it. Google that.
Yeah, that's become a phrase.
Yeah.
It's in our language. Google means search
right now. Yeah, don't do that. Don't
use Google to do it. Use Brave.
And especially do not use a Gmail account.
Oh, Gmail account.
Oh, yeah. Gmail accounts. You know, I have my websites on somega.com, you know, or provisinstitute.com. Those are just real small. There's just me. So they don't worry about that.
No, they do through the AI programming. And that I'm glad you brought that up. Again, provisinstitute.com. Go there and, of course, get the books. But I've got to say something. When you put, and I've been seeing this happen more and more, when you put in a search engine, and it really doesn't matter so far, the exception is Brave. I will give you that. The redirection, like if you put my name in a search engine, what comes up, oh my gosh, what comes up is it's maddening, but it's not directing you to where you need to be. And that's all I'll say. So
it happens all the time with lots of searches.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is how, and so you search something like,
I will say DuckDuckGo.
Yeah.
Firefox. They use Google's infrastructure.
Exactly.
The same search.
Yep. Eric the Tech, man. He's spoken. All right. Okay. Where do we go from here? Because I'm ready to lock and load. My grandchildren, Richard, are not going to be subjugated into this digital gulag, this prison. Whatever I need to do, I'm going to do. Look, you can take me out, all right? But I'm going to take some of you with me. I guarantee it.
Let's talk about what you just said.
All right.
What am I going to do personally? What am I going to do?
Yeah.
Get a group of people as a force and form a legitimate militia, even if it's just your community. Do it. Next, find out more about the bank I keep talking about. It's in volume 6. Learn more about the bank I'm talking about and do that. You have to get your legislature to pass it. But if enough people get behind it, maybe they would. All you need is a opportunity under the 10th Amendment to have a bank in your community that is not, absolutely not, a part of the Federal Reserve. That means no FDIC, but it's just the FDIC is just a Band-Aid anyway. Can't have anything to do with the Federal Reserve, period. Shouldn't even use their clearinghouses, okay? Now, that's another issue, clearinghouses. But nonetheless, you can have your accounts there. You can do everything there. You'll get better interest on your savings. You'll get better interest on your loans. You'll just get better interest. It'll be a community bank like they used to be in the Wild West. Or actually, they used to be prior to 1913. And since 1913, the Fed's been destroying banks as fast as they can and lining them up in just big groups so they can control it.
Would that bank that you're talking about, would that also take Federal Reserve notes, or would that be...
Yeah, we would use Federal Reserve notes because those are the only currency available.
Okay.
But that is, you know, he was talking about following the serial numbers on those notes.
Yep.
Okay, yes, they can. But eventually, even that can be replaced. Okay, if you have the bank, you can replace those things as long as your state will give you permission.
Okay.
It's all focused on the state. Quit worrying about the federal government. It is lost. There are no more elections, folks. I don't care what they call them. There are no more. The last election was not 2020. It was prior to that. And even before that, there was still rigging. But the last election was not 2020. Okay.
I agree with that. Yeah.
That wasn't an election. That was an appointment. It was an appointment. And if you notice something, everybody's proving that it was an appointment, that we didn't elect the dude. He was appointed by the powers that be in the international banking establishment. He was appointed by them. We didn't elect him. And all the valid information that's coming in, everything that's proving it, everything. But I want you to name me one, maybe there's one, that has actually gotten rid of the machines and taken them down and will not use them.
I don't know.
I'll bet you can't find two. I'll bet you can't find three. In this, there's 3,000 counties, and we can't even find three that have actually done something about those machines? No, they have not. They're sitting there waiting for the next election. Oh, it'll be okay. We can elect who we want. Yeah, right. If you want the guy they want, you can elect him. Yeah, that's right. But if you don't want the guy they want, I don't care if you have 1,000 votes and only one for that guy, he'll still be elected because the machines control it.
And who said if voting was effective, they wouldn't let you do it? I that's paraphrasing somebody, but you're right. But I'm going to get back to the bank.
Yes.
Okay. So tell me this, coin collectors, you guys will know what I'm talking about. You go on some of the coin collector sites, you go into a coin shop, they have these national currency banknotes. And it might be stamped with, I don't know, First National Bank of whatever city, you know. And is that a thing? You know, this is pre-Federal Reserve. Now, I know there was some post-Federal Reserve, but is that like, would that be a thing that you're talking about too?
The only problem with it, Doug, is that the Constitution says that the states can't issue currency and they can't accept gold and silver. That's the problem.
They cannot.
The Constitution says you cannot. States cannot issue, they call it bills of credit. Same thing. Can't issue it. And that's the problem. It goes against the Constitution. But at the same time, there is no Constitution being enforced by anybody anymore. So maybe a community could issue community notes, you know, like a co-op, and just issue receipts that people can trade. That's how I'll start.
Okay, that works. But we have
got to have, you got to have something that breaks down the value of a cow to the value of a pound of wheat. You got to have something to do that.
All right. And this is the only way we're going to win, get out of this mess that we're in, because we're not going to do anything on a federal level. I don't believe that's going to be worth a tinker's, you know what. So, okay. All right. This could work. Now, I want to ask you about this before I go any further, because this blows my mind. How is it possible? And I guess it's not possible, but it does. It did happen. We have a Department of Homeland Security. Is that constitutional? And the second add-on question, the Department of Homeland Security or the Biden regime constructed this disinformation governance board headed by this Nina Jankowicz, scary Mary Poppins there. Again, that's attributed to the New York Post. But how does this work?
They're not constitutional. They're dictatorial. They are items of tyranny, folks. That's what you should know. If you had the liberties here, you would know without even asking the question. Honest. These things are not constitutional. Let me tell you a few other things that are not constitutional. The FBI is not constitutional. Okay. The Department of Education is not constitutional. Okay. I could go on and on. In my book, I think it's volume one, but it may be volume two, there are 30 pages of unconstitutional organizations in our federal government that are paid for every day out of our taxes. Clean that up, and our taxes wouldn't have to be nearly so big unless, of course, the welfare, that's not constitutional. In fact, the welfare program is never, ever even defined properly. Welfare means, in the Constitution 1700, when it was written down, welfare means the peacefulness and the help of people and the safety and honesty of people so they can conduct their business. That's what the welfare means. It does not mean give somebody something. That is not the definition of welfare, and it never has been until after the 30s when our government decided to do welfare. It's the welfare of the person. No, it isn't. Like, now I think it was Davy Crockett. I don't know for sure, but I think it was. He got up in Congress. He says, look, I vote against this. Now, it was a good thing. This lady needed that. She needed some help. And she needed it. Yes, it was a good thing. So he said, if you guys want to take out of your pocket and give it to her, that's fine. But you can't spend everybody else's money on it unless, no, you can't spend everybody else's money on it. They can spend their money on it. You know, that's how everything worked before the 30s. That's how it worked. We had all kinds of organizations to help people. They're all gone now, except the churches, and they're hamstrung. Folks, welfare is a lie.
Yes.
It is. There's nothing valid about it. Next thing that's absolutely unconstitutional, that it's a lie, is Medicare. I'm sorry, folks. The problem of our society and medicine today is because of Medicare when it started in the 70s. I watched it happen. I was in hospital administration. I watched it happen. Okay? I was in the Air Force hospital. And it's a lie that it's a help. It doesn't help anybody. It never does. The war on poverty. We had 17 million people in poverty. So they started the war on poverty. Now we have more than 17 million in poverty. I'll be darned. The reverse effect. Government programs always have the reverse effect of what they intend, but they don't want you to know it. I think I'm off the air again. Okay, I'm back. So folks, you gotta understand that. The Blue Series Liberty will help you know these things. Without it, you don't know. Did you know that the United States Army is unconstitutional? Yes, it is. Right. It's supposed to be the state militias.
Yeah, we shouldn't have a standing army.
Should not have a standing army. I think it's a paragraph. I will read it. I think it's paragraph 12. I'll read it. Read Article 1, Section 8. I'll be there just 1 second. There we are. I'm there. No, Section 8.
So while you're doing that, I mean, we shouldn't have a standing army, and we shouldn't have bases in 100 countries, 100 and some odd countries.
That's 12. I think it's paragraph 12, by the way. To raise and support armies, but no appropriation of money to that use shall be for longer term than 2 years. So you can have an army for 2 years. Do you know how the Congress gets around that if they really care? They reappropriate it every 2 years. That's not the intent. The intent is you only have a standing army when you need it. The militias, what's the militias supposed to do? That's not too tough either. We're going to find out what the militias are supposed to do, and we're going to find that out in 6 and 15. To provide forth calling the militia. How can you call a militia that doesn't exist? To execute the laws of the country, suppress insurrections, and repel invasions. But it doesn't talk about go to Germany and set up a It doesn't talk about that. It doesn't talk about going anywhere else. Our country is our country. We're not the police force of the world. Now, there are times when we need to be involved as a world nation, as a world country. I understand that. But the United Nations is not it. Go ahead, read the Charter of the United Nations. Now, the Senate is supposed to approve all treaties. That's a treaty. The first time it came up is the world, whatever it was, League of Nations. The first time it came up as League of Nations, our country rejected it. Only 3 people voted for it. Now, that was just before the 20s. Here comes the CFR, organized in the early 20s, after the League of Nations, by the way, after that failed. Their task was to get a United Nations, among other things. Get a United Nations. What happened? When the next one came up in 1844, which was completely run by communists, I got all their names in the book, when it was completely run, we didn't have any representative from our republic at all. Not one. Not one. Okay? And they formed a socialistic communist dictatorship in the United Nations. They have a really nice, beautiful mission. Barf. They've never done any of that. Look at what their results are. We have more wars now than we ever had. Why? Because the United Nations. That's why. When the United Nations goes someplace, do they help them? No. There's an issue about Guardasil. Oh, yeah, Guardasil is a big deal. We've got to have Guardasil. Now, I don't know if you folks remember Guardasil. It was an injection they were giving to teenage girls to stop cervical cancer. Yes, sirree. That's what it was for. Now, let's see how valid that is. Guardasil itself only gave protection to those girls for 5 years. They were teenagers. Cervical cancer shows up in your 40s. How much protection did they get? It was not for protection, it was for control. What did happen when they got all those shots of Guardasil is many, many, many disabilities because of it. Now, the United Nations took Guardasil to Africa, and they started giving it to the African natives. Well, the African people figured that out, so they had a drum deal, and they started banging drums when these guys came, and all the women disappeared in all the villages. Now, that's how you do stuff, folks. That's the civil disobedience that I was just talking about. That's how it is. A bank that I'm talking about is civil disobedience. We will not have the Federal Reserve in our bases. And that's how you do it. But nobody wants to. Nobody believes it will work. Nobody believes it.
Well, it'll make more. How many people have got the means, though? See, here's the thing. Okay,
wait a minute. The means. It only takes $2 million to start it. Somebody invests that $2 million, and it started. Now you don't have to have any more means than $5.
All right. $2 million, though. That's a kind of a little hurdle there, right? I mean,
I know it is. But how there are enough millionaires that $2 million would matter? Come on.
Well, that's true. I mean, I suppose. Hey, guys.
Millionaires all around the place.
Millionaires.
All you have to do, $2 million, three at most, can start it. Then you can start loaning 18 or 27 million that same day or the next day. And that bank's in operation. And I want to tell you something about banks. No bank will ever fail unless the depositors cause it to. Now, think about that for a minute. A run on a bank causes the failure. If those people went home, the bank wouldn't fail. That's right. And you can show that. You can see that in a movie called It's a Wonderful Life, when George stood across the counter and helped people have the money they needed and didn't close their accounts. And later Ann Potter says, you saved the savings and loans, and I saved everything else. And George said, you bought everything else. You stole everything else. But we did save the savings and loans. And it's a fact, because the people didn't close their accounts. That's all that matters. Keep your account open. So the bank that I'm talking about, I'm on the board of directors, okay? Or someone like me is on the board of directors.
All right.
Come in and they deposit $10,000 in the savings account. We never touch it. That stays in the account forever. Never used. Never used. Why is it never used? Because if you have a run on the bank, it's always there. Where are you going to get your money to loan? That $2 million that you loaned out, $18 million, because you do use the ratio of 9. You don't use the second ratio of 90, just the ratio of 9. That allows you to loan out $18 million. So now you've loaned out $18 million. Next month, the money starts rolling in, and that's the money you loan out from then on. It's your money, not the people's. You never touch a depositor's money. So it sits there.
Oh.
Bank can't fail. Even if there's a run, the bank can't fail.
Right, because you've got all the money. Yeah, I went to the bank one time, Richard, and I said, it was a conversation I had. I said, so what if I want to withdraw? What if I had 20 grand in here? I wanted to withdraw 20 grand in cash. And the bank manager says, well, you know, you'd have to give us some time because we don't have it.
Yep, and I'm thinking, that's right. That was exactly right.
Okay, so where is it? And seriously, and if he said, well, it's in the community.
Yes, it is. It's in all the homes and all the cars and all the boats and all that kind of stuff.
So what's my money doing in his house?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The bank didn't loan out the deposits. That wouldn't occur. It takes a little more time for the bank to get going, but you can't, you know, you got $18 million loaned out. What are the monthly payments going to be? Oh, they're going to be whopper every month. That's the money you loan out because you don't have to keep any of that. That's your money. You don't have to keep the ratio of 9 to 1. That's the bank's money. They own that money now. It belongs to them. They call it investment capital. And I think that's a good term. So they use the investment capital to loan more money out. And there's no end to it. Yep.
Oh, there's no end. All right. Well,
so this, folks, this will work if you just would do it.
Okay.
But well, I've been talking in Utah for 5 years, going on 6, and not one person will even lift their hand to even, oh, well, I don't think so.
Well, you know what? So, okay. Anyone with a million or two out there that wants to start a bank, I got to tell you, go to provisinstitute.com, get a hold of Richard, and we could do this. We got to do something because if we don't do something right now, it's going to go kinetic. It will. I guarantee it.
And this bank will allow you to continue your process, continue billing, continue doing everything because it's not under the control of the Federal Reserve.
All right. Now, you mentioned something about military not being constitutional. Yeah, and I understand that with the exception, of course, you raised. The police departments, here's what got me. So there's a question in here too. A couple of them, actually. So the leaked document from the Supreme Court, the leaked first draft opinion from the Supreme Court on Roe v. Wade came out 2 days ago. All right. First of all, how dare they? Okay. Number one, you just ruined the court. And second of all, that gave rise to protests spurned on by Big Mike and his husband, Barack Hussein Obama, Barry Sotaro. Okay. So the protests in Los Angeles, here's my question to you. If you watched them on any social media, whatever, if you watched the protests, you see a couple of police cars pull up and the people banging and busting the windows of the police cars. But how many people out there looked at the logos on the police cars? What the hell is Federal Protective Services, number one, and I know the answer to that is part of DHS, but their charter does not extend into the street enforcement. So here are my questions. Do you have any comment on the existence of the Federal Protective Services and their response to a riot?
Absolutely unconstitutional.
There it is.
You have a militia to respond to that. And that's what they're for. Remember what it said in 15? It said, suppress insurrections. That's what that means. Stop the blasted riots. If you have a militia, you can. But if you just have a group of guys calling themselves a militia without proper authority, then it's a mob with guns and they can throw you in prison. But if you're ever an elected, your city says, we are going to form a militia. Now, I know the Constitution says state militias, but in that era, when the word state was mentioned, in the days of 1700, state meant any community organization. Did you know that? It did not mean Delaware. It meant, I don't know, a city in Delaware. I can't remember one.
Okay. All right.
It meant New York City. That's what that word meant. States. States was every organized community in a government. Every one of them.
Well, that's an important distinction. Okay.
Yes, that's what it meant. You look in your 1828 dictionary and you will discover it. Folks, you got to learn stuff.
Right. Okay. All right. So that's that. And the Federal Protective Service, if you look at their homepage, they offer, or their officers are uniformed. Now, listen to this. Uniformed law enforcement agents with all the jurisdiction of a sheriff, excuse me, minus civil responsibilities. What in the heck does that mean?
That means that they're trying to get around, using language to correct, trying to get around us.
All right.
That's what they're doing. They're just using language to destroy us. Attorneys do it all the time. Attorneys can convict you in a few sentences of black is white. They know how to do it, okay? They know how to do it. Mathematicians want to convince yourself, and the equation somewhere they divide by zero. So it destroys the equation. But if they don't tell you that, you just press right on and use all the letters still.
Okay.
A minus B. A is worth 2 and B is worth 2. And you have A minus 2, you get 0. Okay? You get 0 if they're the opposites. Now, if you continue to use A and B throughout the rest of it, it's all invalid. But you don't know it's invalid because you're not the mathematician that understands what happened because it's hidden in the mathematics. Well, attorneys do the same thing with words. They hide it in their words to make things sound good, but they have a different language than you and I have. Different language entirely. And they use words that we don't understand and we don't ever bother to ask. You know, I've read a lot of contracts. I used to have businesses in malls. Well, every mall gave me a contract. You had to read it through. So I would go through with a red pencil and mark all the stuff I wanted changed. And they did it because they wanted our business. If they didn't do it, we went somewhere else. That's how you do stuff. But if you don't know these things, you can't do them.
That's when life was good, actually. Remember the malls and the...
Yeah, it was good. We made a lot of money at the mall. I sold that out of those at the right time.
Yeah. Well...
Folks, you just cannot get around in life if you don't know stuff. Those books of the Liberty series are to teach you stuff you need today. The economics book, teach you stuff you need today. Saving the Constitution book, teach you stuff you need today. That's what they're for. They're not for me to exercise my writing skills, which I don't really have. That's not the purpose. I didn't put them out to get my name in rights. I don't care. I get these best-selling seals on this, best-selling author. Well, that's nice. I don't care. With that seal and several dollars, I can go buy some coffee. Has to be several dollars now. It didn't used to be, but anyway, what I'm trying to say is if you don't know things, you can't benefit from them. Those, all the stuff I just talked about in this last few minutes that people don't really realize, unconstitutional. Do you realize what we're doing unconstitutionally?
Well, let me ask a pointed question, because right now people are not understanding. We have 211,972 illegal aliens, illegal invaders who were apprehended just in the month of April. What can the state, for example, the state of Texas do to combat this that the federal government is not doing? I'm not talking about busting them to D.C. I'm talking about...
They take their militia and man their borders.
All right.
That's an invasion. It's in it. 15th paragraph. That's an invasion. They man their borders and they shoot people. I'm sorry. It's a war, you guys. But as soon as Texas does that, then they'll all go to Arizona, New Mexico, or California.
But Texas, okay. So constitutionally, though, does the federal government have the right, constitutional right, under the Constitution, if we're playing by the rules, does the federal government have the right to say, hey, Abbott, if it's Texas, you can't do that?
I am going to read you the 10th Amendment now.
All right.
That's the answer. I'm going to read it out of the book.
Okay.
The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. Now, let me tell you what that says. The states can do anything that they want as long as the Constitution doesn't prohibit it. The federal government can do nothing that's not in the Constitution. They have no right to control the militia of a state at all. That's Abbott's responsibility. Organize a militia as big as you. How many people live population-wise in Texas? Does anybody know that number really quick?
At least 500 people. I don't know.
Yeah. Let's just assume it's 28 million, okay, just for grits, or 30 million. Let's just assume that. I know it's way bigger than that, but let's just assume that. Now, if you split that in half women and men, you're going to have 15 million, right? If you take off the little kids and the old guys, you'll probably have, 8 million. Your militia is 8 million people. The militia definition is all able-bodied men. That's the definition. That's what they meant when they said militia. All able-bodied men within the geographical region of that organization. That's that government. 8 million? There's no army in the world can do that. Are they armed? You bet they are, because they've been hunting. They know what to do. They're skilled. That group of people with legal authority by the government of Texas goes down to the border and they shoot people that come across. I'm sorry. That's an invasion. It's a war. Let's stop calling it illegals. Illegals being allowed. It's a war. We're being invaded. And we're being destroyed. By the way, the militia can also stop, get in all the airports and the bus depots and grab every illegal gets on a bus, off of a bus, and take them out, throw them in jail, or throw them across the border. And I think throwing them across the border is a good thing. Two guys, hand and leg each, and toss them over the border. Guys, you got to have a militia. And unless you have a militia, you can nothing to stand on. I've been talking about that for years.
Well,
and we might have three or four that are starting.
They're starting, you know, but again, you know, if there's no will out there, Richard, if the people don't have the will to get off their butts, you know,
well, then they deserve what they're going to get. I just don't like the fact that I'm going to get it too because of their laziness.
Well, you know, yeah, I mean, I don't like it that we're going to suffer, but I'm very worried about my children and their children. The fact
we should all be worried about our grandchildren and our children. We should all be worried about our posterity. Yeah. If the founding fathers had not been worried about the posterity, you think they would have given up their lives for that government they established? They all did, by the way. None of those people got away with it. Every one of them were hurt because of it.
Yeah, we owe them. We owe them.
And now here we are, that dumb and happy, not knowing any idea what it cost, throwing it away with both hands because the government said we could do that. Well, the government doesn't have any damn authority. They have 8 things they can, well, that's the Supreme Court. They have 17 paragraphs that they can do, period. Well, there's a few other things scattered. But pretty much it's those 17 paragraphs. And we don't lift a finger. Out here in the West, we call ourselves, bah, we're going to live, conservative, we're going to do stuff. The president comes up, stands on the south rim of the Grand Canyon and absorbs into a park what millions and millions of acres here in Utah. And our good Senator Hatch didn't have even the guts to say, you can't do that. It's against the Constitution, paragraph 17. You can't do that. Not one peep came out of the senators from our state or the representatives.
Yeah. Well, they don't know how many people really know the Constitution.
They don't know the Constitution either. Right. I know. That's and right. In addition to that, we got a Hill Air Force Base not too far from where I'm sitting right now. This very minute. Government property. They're supposed to pay for it. The Constitution says Congress gives the authority to have it, and then the federal government pays for it. They don't just take it. They pay for it after they have permission from the legislature of Utah. So the legislature of Utah passed a law. Oh, it's about, about 5 or 8 years ago, some number like that. And this law said, as of January of a particular year, all federal agencies will leave the state. January came, nothing. February, same year, nothing, nothing, nothing. Are they still here? Yes. They passed a law, but they did not intend to do anything about it. So those people are still here. And what, a third, maybe even half of the state of Utah is federal property now?
Yep.
You know, the BLM is unconstitutional. It has no authority whatsoever.
By the way, that's Bureau of Land Management.
Right. Well, okay. The other guys don't have any authority either. But Bureau of Land Management, which is a major focus of the Western states, has no authority at all. Okay? The mining organization does the safety for all the mines, goes to all the mines to find the least violation. They give them fines. They give them, they give people fines. Well, here's an illustration. I saw in a movie when I was at the safety thing. This is true, movie. A clip. Here comes an inspector from the mining and the owner of the mine. And they came up here and there's a guy standing here doing something. And they look over on a barrel and there's a rag. Just a piece of cloth. Well, that's not legal. That's not right. That's not legal. I'm going to write you up for that. If I take it right now, well, then we'll avoid it. So he did. He picked it up and took it with him. And there was no write-up. But the point I'm trying to make is those guys come around looking for stuff to find the mining industry to destroy the mining industry's ability to do business. They are unconstitutional. Get them out of your state. Militia, go lock their doors. Don't let them out or let them in, one or the other. That's what a militia's for.
And you know what? We need to get on that right away. That's where we're going to have to leave it. Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com. Folks, ProvisInstitute.com. Go there. Get the physical copies of his books. I'm telling you right now, you will thank me later, as I like to say. And tomorrow, I got a surprise for you. Steve will be off tomorrow, but I got a surprise for you tomorrow, folks. Look, lock and load, prepare and pray. May God bless each and every one of you. Good night.